Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dontisha James. Today we're going to talk about the Armor of God Session 8, which is prayers. The Armor of God Session 8, prayers. So let's get into the Word of God. We're going to go into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And the Word of God says this: "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And so prayer is communication with God. That's all it is. Prayer is communication with God. And Jesus gives us an example, but that's all we need to do is communicate with God. That is prayers. Because God is personal, all people can offer prayers. However, sinners who have not trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation remain alienated from God. So while unbelievers may pray, they do not have the basis for a reward and fellowship with God. They have not met the conditions laid down in the Bible for effectiveness in prayer. So let's go back into the Word of God. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 14. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. And the Word of God says this. This is what the Lord says about this people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. So the Lord does not accept them. He will not remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague. But I said, Alas, sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them, you will not see the sword or suffer famine. Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place." Let me keep going on. Then the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, imitations, adultery, and delusion of their own minds." Whew, my God. And so tell me what you think about this scripture. Can it affect us today? It can affect us today. So God is still the same. Remember, God is still the same. So even if he does what he does in the Old Testament with Jeremiah, he can do it in the New Testament with us. If we are believers, we are not believers in Christ Jesus, we cannot expect a reward. We cannot expect God to give us a reward. We cannot expect God to answer our prayers because we choose to not go by what he say. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ say he is the way, and that's the only way. And we can pray in how long we want to pray. We can talk to God how long we want to talk to God. If we do not come through Jesus Christ, guess what? The prayers will not be answered. The prayers will not be answered, and we will hear lies. We will hear false prophets. We will hear false teachers, false doctrine. That's why it's so important for God's children to know his word, but we will not be deceived. Because in the end of time, it say a lot will be deceived because they want what their itching ears want, and they want to be entertained and not know the truth and not be corrected and not be reproved or rebuked to go the way that God sees it. That's why the gate is that gets very wide in the beginning, but it gets very narrow when we start doing what God says. Let's keep it going on. So the people cried out to God for rain, yet the Lord refused to answer these prayers as a testimony to the inescapable judgment they had to bear because of their sin. All who continue in sin should realize that a time may come when God refuses to hear their prayers and send the punishment their sin deserves. So remember, sin will cause us punishment. Sin will cause us destruction. Sin will cause us consequences because it's going against God's will. God does not hate us, but he hates sin. And so Christians recognize their dependency upon the Creator, which is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. They have every reason to express gratitude for God's blessings, but they have far more reason to respond to God than this. They respond to the love of God for them. God's love is revealed through the incarnation and life of Christ, his atoning provision at the cross, his resurrection, and his continual presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. So effective prayer has power over everything. You hear that? Effective prayer has power over everything. Let's continue to keep going on. So God can intelligently act in any part of their universe or human history. Although some people think Prayer is a waste of time, which is a lie. But in James chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let me say this again. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So this verse gives us an important reason why healing is often lacking in the Christian community. Sin must be confessed to others in fervent prayer for one another, be made to God. Sin in the church hinders the prayers of believers and blocks the healing power of God from being manifested in the congregation. And so, for us as believers, because we do fall short of God's glory, it is our responsibility to have someone, a sister or brother in Christ, that you can go say, "Hey, I messed up. I'm confessing my sins to you. I need you to pray for me," and make sure that prayers are going to be effective. Because remember what the Bible say: a righteous person's prayer is effective, not a sinner prayer, not a person who chooses to stay in sin and do things wrong against God's will. No, God say a righteous person who chooses to turn from their wicked ways to follow him, to be obedient, a righteous prayer can be answered because it's effective. Let's keep going on. My God, my God. And so this verse gives us an important reason why healing is often lacking in our Christian community. It is lacking because we believe in Christ Jesus, but we still straddle the fence as lukewarm. We still being disobedient against God. And so we cannot be disobedient and expect God to answer our prayers if we're not willing to turn from our wicked ways and seek our Heavenly Father and have a relationship with him. So as Christians, should we have effective prayers? Yes, we should have effective prayers. Let's go into James, because I think it's the next scripture. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I think it's verse 17 in chapter 5, where it talks about this. And it says it back there. So it's going to back it up with the word of God. It says this. Elijah was a human being. Now let me go to back to, let me back it up in verse 16. Then I'm going to read down to 18. So James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly, excuse me, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And so it is true. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 18, which I just now read. Elijah was a man who had faith that his prayers to God will accomplish much, even to the point of God's intervention in the course of nature. He believed that prayer by a righteous person does release God to change things. The prayers of the righteous draw them near to God. Let me say it again. The prayers of the righteous draw them near to God, not to themselves, not to no human man or no human woman, okay? We draw you close to God. Remember, God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is our deliverer through us, through Jesus Christ. He is our God, and we go through Jesus Christ, but we can be delivered. We can be redeemed. We can be the resurrection. We can have power. We can be healed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we draw you close to God. So let's keep going on. Open the way to the spirit life, filled life, bringing the power of ministry in Christians' devotions. Build them up spiritually, give them insight into Christ's provision for helping them overcome Satan. And so in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. And so Christ is always trying to live to intercede for us to our Heavenly Father. And so, do you think prayers can give us freedom from fear? Do you think prayers can give us freedom from fear? I say yes. Prayers can help us, our inner man, I mean, meet our inner needs. One who prays will receive freedom from fear. So let's look at the word of God. Let's go into Psalms chapter 118. Psalms chapter 118, and then I'm going to go down to verse 5 through 6. Psalms chapter 118, verse 5 through 6. Let's look at the word of God. It says this: when hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And so remember that courageous isn't the absence of fear, but the conquering of it. If we really care for the lost, each of us must learn to push aside fear and replace it with the faith in God. We do our part in God's will and do, I mean, yeah, we do our part and God will do his. Those who take refuge in the Lord are assured that he is for them and with them to give help and strength. Faith in Christ can help overcome fear by trusting in God's sovereignty. Faith is about believing that God can help us overcome. Let me say it again. Faith is about believing that God can help us overcome. It is also about having an open heart to whatever God provides. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, the word of God says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, presenting your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see that? And so prayers and petitions. So what is he saying? Come to him with prayers and petition of thanksgiving. Talk to him about your petition. Talk to him what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind, what's your circumstances, what's your situation. But don't forget to give him thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for making me new in Christ Jesus. Thank you for a new mind. Thank you for a sound mind. Thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to come to him with thanksgiving too. And so, would you say that prayer is a weapon that all Christians should use? Yes, prayer is a weapon that all Christians should use. And so I believe prayer is a weapon that all Christians can use any time of the day because our God is with us all the time. Yes, let me say it again. Our God is with us all the time. And wherever we go, we can talk to him and he wants to help us as his children. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have peace and not get overwhelmed or stressed out. Some Christians don't use this weapon too often, and they let the enemy win over their afflictions. But remember that God is with us and ready for us to talk to him and ask him for help. It says to him, it says, ask, seek, and knock. It says in the word of God, we should ask him for his help. And so, is prayer effective only in the inner lives of those who pray? No, prayer can make a difference in the lives of others. Biblical writers believe prayer for others could result in greater wisdom and power. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, it says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe that power is the same as the mighty strength. And so the prayer of Apostle Paul was talking about for Ephesians reflects God's highest desires for every believer in Christ Jesus. Paul prayed that the Spirit might work in them in greater measures. The reason for this increased measure of the Spirit impartation is that believers may receive more wisdom, more revelation and knowledge concerning God's redemptive purpose for the present and future salvation, and experience more abundant power by the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. Yes, we have power in the Holy Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important for us to draw near to God, for we can receive the power that he has already given us. So let's go back into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and look and see what the word of God says again. It says this: and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And so our warfare against the spiritual focus forces of Satan calls for an intensity of prayer. Prayer is not to be seen just as another weapon, but as part of an actual conflict itself, where the victory is won for ourselves and others by working together with God and himself. To fail to pray diligently with all kinds of prayer in all situations is to surrender to the enemy, which is Satan. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says this: Then Jesus told his disciples to a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. As believers, we should always pray and not give up. We pray in season and out of season. We pray when it's good. We pray when it's bad. We pray all the time as the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember that we should pray all the time. And thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.